Thank you. We are going to come out of recess. And we do have a quorum, Madam Clerk. Just want to note that. And we are going to finish up discussing ONCA 2432. I believe that there's going to be an amendment proposed. Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would like to make a motion to amend ONCA 24-32. The committee substitute on page 3, strike lines 89 through 133. And
second.
Adjust totals accordingly.
All right, there is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the amendment, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the amendment carries.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Continue.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to report out ONCA 24-32 with a due pass.
There's a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second to recommend a due pass. Just for discussion purposes, this is going to then be, Speaker Goodfox is then going to assign this bill to the Appropriations Committee because of the major changes that have happened with the committee substitute. Mr. Frazier?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe the motion needs to be stated as do pass with committee substitute with amendments.
You are correct. So thank you so much, Madam Clerk. So let's withdraw and restate, Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make an amendment.
No, a motion to report.
A motion to amend the committee substitute.
Oh, you did that.
ONCA 24-32.
Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Congresswoman Rivard. We just need to restate your motion to move it out of committee as a committee substitute as amended.
Okay, so I have to say committee substitute to move it out.
As amended.
Okay.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I wasn't clear on that.
All right, well, I'll make a motion to send the committee substitute for ONCA 24-32 to Congress with a due pass recommendation as amended.
All right. Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right, any opposed? None, the motion carries, and it will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Thank you all so very much for your work on this bill. We are going to quickly move on to Congressman Big Horse's bill, which is ONCA 2434, an act to provide an appropriation in the amount of $2 million for the demolition, design, engineering, and construction of a new multifunction office building and to establish an alternate effective date. I do know that, thank you, Congressman Big Horse, for being so patient with us today. Let us jump around. I know that he has invited Mr. Johnson here with us, and also is Mr. Van Big Horse going to speak to this also? All right, Congressman Big Horse, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Congresswoman Rivard and myself, we met with the treasurer, and we ensured that there was going to be $2 million in the capital asset fund for this project. Since then, I think I've received an invitation for a meeting on the 3rd concerning a bigger project, I believe, but I'm going to turn this over to my brother Van, and then we can follow up with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Congressman Big Horse. Secretary Big Horse, you have the floor, sir. He may be having difficulty. We have had a little trouble today. Okay. All right. Secretary Johnson, would you like to start off for us?
As I stated earlier, you know, the building that currently houses our culture and language departments needs to go. I mean, it's old. We've already put a bunch of money into it. It's not getting any better. It won't get any better. So the plan is, and I've talked to Congressman Big Horse, and I've talked to Secretary Big Horse. And, you know, what we would like to do is demo that building as it exists, wipe the slate clean, and build a new building. I sent the congressman, the support documents from Mr. Carr on that the project that they did down in their area. And one of the things I talked to Van about doing, since there are great big plans for a new Heritage Center up here on campus, it's millions of dollars. We wanted to call this a multi-use office building, build it in the same basic footprint as where tribal development and real estate are currently housed. And that way, when a new Heritage Center is built, we can move those folks out of the building downtown into the Heritage Center, and that building will now be, we'll be able to use it for multi-functions. So if another department needs office space, et cetera, and, you know, and if worse comes to worse, we'd have a building that we could actually lease. So that's what we're looking at. The cost is about $2 million. Architect and engineering is $200,000. And the demo is $138,000. So it's actually about $2.34 million. But I talked to, when I talked to the treasurer, Mr. McIntosh, I reminded him that there was $200,000 that was appropriated by Congressman Tillman for a fire suppression system for that building that we have not spent. And I said, if I'm going to demo it, it doesn't make any sense to spend that money. So that could be, we could use that $200,000 that I noticed was put back into the general fund in the last special session, use that $200,000 for the architect and engineering and demolition of that building, the $138,000, which is a quote, not an estimate. It's a quote from a contractor. We could pull that from the property improvement fund. And so that's the cost of the building itself is what we're asking for. So that's $2 million. Everyone is comfortable with that.
Okay. I believe, thank you, Mr. Secretary Johnson. I want to give Mr. Big Horse a chance, Secretary Big Horse, if he has the ability to get logged, to be able to use his mic. I do know if you can hear me, Secretary Big Horse, there have been some other technical issues for some folks to be able to speak via Zoom. So when you have the ability to, please just chime in. All right. I don't see that he's going to be able to. So Congresswoman Revar.
Thank you. So Casey, could you update the committee right now where everybody is? So I understand that the cultural program, they have moved out. It's been a while, 2 or 3 weeks, which I appreciate because the building is full of, well, there was definitely mold and mildew and they can't access, you know, the second floor. That's why I think, yeah, I agree with you. It needs to be demolished. And I was wondering, so the cultural folks, they've moved out to Tri-County's Business Development Center. Where's the language program? Where have they moved? I'm concerned since they have elders there.
So currently the mold water issue is the language side. So it's been closed off. The culture folks are out, as you were. Did I say language? The culture side is the one most affected. It's closed off to the language side. The culture folks are out at Tri-County, and we were looking at space to lease here in town, which would have been, well, I don't want to talk about the property and which one it is, but it would have been suitable. However, there's a whole list of repairs that need done to it, and I'm not going to put money into somebody else's building. So that's out of the question. A couple of the language folks have toured. We have a big, I don't even want to call it a double wide, but it's a an expansive trailer out at the Harvest Land area that we're redoing the bathrooms right now in it. And they seem to be more than happy to move out there temporarily, obviously, until a new building was complete, or we went ahead and got the insurance to put a Band-Aid on the old building to move them back. So that is currently the plan. We should be finished with that in the next week or two, and then we'll start moving those folks out of there.
Okay, I have a question, Chair, if I may. Just for the health and safety, Casey, because I don't know. I'm just picturing what you said. So on the cultural side, it's blocked off because of mold and mildew, but you're saying we still have language people currently on the language side, and there's mold and mildew in that building? Because I don't think just because we block it off, it's the HVAC, the air quality and things of that nature. Has it been I'm concerned that our language employees are currently housed in a building of such. And I was just wondering, you know, why they're still there. Is it because they don't, because we can't find the space? Is that the issue? Is that we don't have a place to put them anywhere? Besides a double wide that has the bathroom. I'm just concerned, are they working from home? I'm sitting here thinking, why are they still in a building that was full of mold and mildew? What, are they working from home? They're not physically in there anymore, are they?
Dr. Johnson?
Mr. Big Horse can answer that question. There are some I know that are working from home. That was an option. Not my call to make on where they work. That's Mr. Big Horse's call. Talked to Braxton, and Braxton said, you know, that right now they're fine down there where they are. It is not a present danger to them if they're in there. I am looking at renovating I don't remember the name of it, but it's the old Wheela building in Skytook. I had my guys down there today to look at how much it's going to cost to renovate that old building down there. And if worst came to worst, we could move the entire language department down there. We're making it suitable for classes in Skytook, so people from Tulsa, et cetera, can come up there. But there's enough space there. I could move the whole department to Skytook temporarily. I don't have to have them in Pawhuska, but that's not up to me where they're going. So.
Okay. So it's not up to, I'm sorry. I guess I thought you were the one in charge of moving everybody. Like you were the one deciding where people are going. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was up to Van, but thank you. Okay. Well, I appreciate, I'm just more concerned about their health and safety being in a building that had mold and mildew. I just think that blocking it off. Now I'm just saying that logically, if it were my home, and there was mold and mildew in the kitchen, and I just put up a blanket or something and said, well, it's not going to get in the rest of the house. I'm just thinking I would prefer. I was wondering, is it maybe you guys, you know, have someone come look at that and assess it.
Madam Chair.
That does that for a living.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Johnson.
We have had PCC go through there. And as I said, currently, the one side is habitable. They have separate systems for HVAC. So right now, today, they're okay. I don't want to keep them in there any more than anybody else does.
Thank you.
But right now, I don't have anywhere to house them that is suitable. Like I said, I looked at a lease property downtown. And there's, with the amount of problems it has, it's basically the same as leaving them where they are. So, you know, we would have to, the owner of that facility would have to do a whole bunch of work to get that thing suitable for them to go into. Tri-County's out of space. There wouldn't be enough space to put everybody in. From my understanding, there are several of those individuals working from home via Zoom, et cetera. And again, I'm not going to dictate where another secretary's personnel go. If they want me to try to find them a spot, I'm doing the best I can with what I have.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate the comment concerning you have had individuals in to assess the situation, and the HVACs are separate. That is good to know. And even though this is pertaining to the building that they're in now, it's not particularly germane to the actual bill that we're discussing, because we're discussing building a new building at this point in time. So,
well, I felt like it's good to get an update for our folks as to where everybody is, because it was a big, we're talking about a program that offers classes. There was a lot of activity in that building. Congress and Maker and Big Horse are aware of that. That building, there's a lot of in and out, you know, a lot of action there. And I wanted the folks listening to understand, number one, we took it serious. Number two, we're addressing it. Number three, this is part of addressing it. And that's why Congressman Big Horse and I are like, we would like to ask during the middle of a 6-month hunka session, $2 million from this Congress so that we can ensure that our language and cultural people, the nucleus of our government inside of our Constitution on purpose, that they are respected as employees and taken care of properly, especially with elders there. There are some folks there that, you know, we need to most certainly care about all of them, but there are elders there, and I want to make sure, and I'm glad to know that there's a report. I would love for you to send that report to Congress, Casey, that say that that building has passed the inspection. If you could do that, sir, and if you could send that by the end of the day, that'd be wonderful. So we could see that report that says it's safe. And so thank you, though, Chair, because I do want us to have a good update so people understand the exact steps that we're taking in moving this along. I think the $2 million, chances are we're going to get in there. Casey knows this, and it may end up costing us a little bit more, and or it could be a little bit less. That hasn't happened, but chances are. But I do appreciate the committee's time that Congressman Big Horse and I can sit here and let our people know we care about our language and culture, and we care about those departments, the building. We care about all the buildings. And thank you, Casey. I understand it's hard to find folks. I mean, I've had to do that with you as well, or find space. But I do know that there's conference rooms available in the Welcome Center that nobody's using. And so I'm just trying to, as you guys are trying to fix the issue, you know, we're thinking just as well so we could help along, and this is part of that. So thank you, Chair. And I think if there's no questions about the amount, unless Congressman Keene has one, then I'll make them, we can move this right out.
Congressman Keene, you have the floor.
Yeah, it's just a general observation. I know it's not the issue now, but back in 2012, I couldn't understand how we had people still at the Civic Center in that property. We're now 12 years later, they're still there. We have a good problem here, but we definitely have to address our infrastructure needs for housing our employees. So I just wanted to say that much, just so the public is aware as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. All right, committee. Any other questions or comments concerning the $2 million appropriation request in front of us?
Chair, I'll make a motion to report out ONCA 24-34 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. ONCA 24-34 will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, Congressman Big Horse and Congresswoman Rivard, for your time.
Thank you, committee.
Now we are going to move on, and I want to say thank you to Justice Drent for hanging in there with us. We do have two bills here on the agenda. We're going to start out with 2438, an act to amend the Osage Nation Bar Association Fund at 1 ONC subsection 1-101 to change it to the Osage Nation Bar Fund for the benefit of the judicial branch, to amend the stated purpose, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Rebard is the sponsor. Ma'am, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chair. These two pieces of legislation we've been talking about for some time, and definitely the Chief Justice had reached out knowing we're going into Hanukkah, and she was wanting to ask that we could revisit this. And so I'd like to turn this over to Chief Justice Ms. Drent.
Welcome, Ms. Drent.
Hawaii, everybody. It's good to see all of you. I have not minded sitting here watching. I always like seeing our government in action. So thank you for allowing me to appear via Zoom. I'm sorry I'm not there in person. Yes, to answer your question, this has been in the works for a while. I'm so thankful to Jody Rebard for sponsoring this. But yeah, this has been on our plate for a while. And as you know, things happen. And so now we're finally getting it in front of you. So when this law was originally adopted, the idea behind the Osage Nation Bar Association was to be an entity kind of like the Osage County Bar Association. There would be a president, a vice president, there'd be a treasurer, there would be members, and then they would use these funds to fund activities for the association. Over the last, I think this was adopted in 2011, so in the last 13 years, nothing's been taking place. And I know originally there were efforts to have the association formed and to have people involved, but as time went on, activity fell off. And then when we tried to reinvigorate it, the person who was president unfortunately passed away due to COVID. Nobody's really stepped in to take the place of that individual. And honestly, these funds are collecting. And one of the things that our court administrator, Ms. Jeannie Redigal, who's also president, and I talked about was a way to use these funds to provide some kind of other benefit for people who use the court, or to provide maybe civil legal aid, which was originally my idea, is to use these funds for some kind of purpose to provide a service to the people who come in and use the Osage Nation courts. And at the time, the language restricted us from using these funds for anything. And so now we are in front of you asking to amend the, this is, it looks like one of the very first codes that was considered, but this was done before the court really had an idea of what we were going to be about and how things were going to go. And so what we'd like to do is maintain our role to maintain the roster of attorneys licensed to practice law in the Osage Nation courts, but to use the funds from dues to fund some kind of activity or service, more likely a service that we would like to provide to Osage constituents who want to use the court. So we're still kicking around ideas, but there is, we just got a report this morning from accounting. There's currently $84,975.19 sitting in the fund. So these funds have been accumulating for a very long time. We'd like to figure out, you know, the best kind of service to provide and to use these funds to provide that service. So it's a revolving fund. So these funds have carried over repeatedly since the law was first enacted. And that's really the gist of what we'd like to do. So in the future, we would want to, you know, propose something in our budget so that we can actually get these funds appropriated. So I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Thank you, Justice Drent. Committee, do you have any questions concerning the bill that's in front of us for Ms. Drent or the sponsor? Just Congresswoman Rebar, we've asked if anybody has from the committee or any members of Congress has any questions concerning this particular act. I'm not hearing anything at this time.
Not that it's not exciting. I mean, this is good stuff.
Well,
I like that it was the one of the first bills. No, I'm serious. I was like, oh, this is really one of the first bills that or statutes that were put into place. So I just wanted to say, if I may, Chair, that I know that we're looking at the revolving funds, all of them. There's a lot. There's probably too many, but I did speak to Treasurer McIntosh about this before I filed it, only in that it had something to do with revolving funds. And he and I both were talking about, you know, I think that this is unique. What? I'm sorry. What is it? No, I'm just talking about our mayor. This Osage Nation Bar Association, Congressman, is a revolving fund.
Yeah, no, it
is a revolving fund. What we're doing is changing the language.
Changing the name.
What we have so many revolving funds that we were looking at, you know, a lot of them aren't active at all. And so, but this particular revolving fund was probably one of the first ones, but because it sits in a different branch, is what I'm trying to get to, is that the treasurer felt like this is a best practice that he's seen in other tribes as well. And so I agree. I just didn't want everybody to go, well, you know, here we are, we're addressing revolving funds. So you're going to see one we're amending and one we're establishing. And so, but it is for the judicial branch. And I just want you guys to know that I am aware that we're looking at all of them, and I'm not trying to create more work, but I'm trying to make it better for the judicial branch, because this is, you know, they hardly really ask us for anything, but I think they've been doing this for a long time. They understand what their needs are. I love the intent. Chief Justice, when you were talking about the assistants, the attorney assistants, you know, and your original intent with the monies, I think that's really quite interesting. And I think it's something that's been brought up more than once with our folks that need assistance legally. So I just hope the committee would support this and the request from the judicial. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rebard. So this the language change in this particular one is just changing the name of the fund that we're looking at right now. Am I correct? Yes. Yes. 2438. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we're looking at right now, committee. Any questions or comments concerning changing the name of the revolving fund? Speaker Goodfox.
I don't have any questions. It's just more of a comment. And I appreciate Congresswoman Rivard's comments to that, because we have been talking about the revolving funds. But the thing is that I don't think that anyone on Congress has ever had issues with revolving funds. But you stated, and this is true, some are idle. Some have been sitting there for years with nothing, no action. And then we have other revolving funds that have money in them, but yet we get a separate request for an appropriation out of the general treasury when we have sufficient money in the revolving fund that it correlates to what the request is. So I think that this is a good move, and I support it, and hopefully it makes everything easier for them.
Thank you.
Thumbs up from, you guys can't see it, but she's got her little paddle with a thumb up. All right, good job. So are we ready to move on this bill, committee?
Chair.
Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to make a motion to report out ONCA 24-38 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion with a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, the motion carries and the legislation will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. The next bill is somewhat of a sister bill or companion bill to this, in essence, ONCA 2439, an act to establish a revolving fund for the judicial branch to process revenues, expenditures, and bonds by operation of the courts and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Reward is the sponsor. Ma'am, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This reads exactly what the action is that they're requesting, and so I think let's visit with the Chief Justice about, you know, the revolving fund and why they feel like it's, you know, better to keep their funds without a fiscal limitation. I think it would be great to hear why they feel that's necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Justice Drent, you have the floor.
All right, thank you. Thank you again, everyone, and Congresswoman Rebarb for sponsoring this legislation. So this legislation puts into practice something that has already been occurring, and hopefully Gina Redigal is present and she can provide some context too if I miss anything, so she can just jump in. We receive income from people who pay court costs, you know, fees to file a case. There might be fines that come in when bonds are forfeited, for example, which means that somebody pays bail to get out of jail and they don't come back into court. One of the things that the court can do for them not showing up is to forfeit their bail. And so that comes back to us as well. There might be processing fees. So there's a long line of things that get included in this fund. One of the other things that gets included is restitution. Those funds are not spent by us at all. They are reserved for parties, victims of crime usually, to receive restitution. So those dollars come to us and then we get them put into a line item, and then those checks are just simply cut and sent out to the victims. So those are restitution. So those are things that are not subject to you know, our spending. We just leave them alone until the victims come forward and claim those funds. So, like I said, the process has been that these funds have not been absorbed back into the general fund. From what I am looking at, since 2018, these funds have continued to be collected but not go back into the general fund. So I wanted to draw your attention to 501C section 1-114, and it states under court costs that these costs shall attempt to defray as much of the costs of the court's entire operation over and above any court financing which may be provided by funding from the Osage Nation as may be reasonable and just, and which will not injure the interests of justice and ready access to the courts within the Osage Nation. So there's already a provision in existing law that requires us to use these funds that we generate to go back into operation costs. So that's actually what we would be doing. We like using these funds for things like drug tests. If there is some kind of service that is court ordered, then we can use those funds to pay for it if needed. So there are different ways that we use these funds to go back into something that would come out of the court's budget. So it serves a couple of different purposes. One, it carries out the intent of that language I just read to you. So 501C, section 1-114, if anybody has their laptop and they want to look it up on the code. And then it also codifies what has already been put into place, which is that these funds are currently sitting. And we spend them when we can, but they've been collecting over the years. And if I'm reading this correctly, maybe Mr. McIntosh or Ms. Redigal can correct me, but since 2018, we've amassed $66,624.71. Again, there are certain amounts that are reserved entirely for restitution, so those funds would not be touched. It would be whatever was left out of funds minus restitution.
Thank you, Justice Drent. Ms. Redigal, would you like to chime in on anything?
I think everything sounded great that Meredith explained.
Okay, wonderful. All right, committee. Congressman Redroy, do you have anything else to add?
No, I do not. Not at this time. I think it's pretty... I do want to ask Tyler, Treasurer McIntosh, what is their current balance in that revolving fund? Do you have that in front of you?
We currently don't have a revolving fund, but they have accumulated, it looked like around 8,500 as of the end of February this year. Okay. And then I have that track record going back. I don't know if I go back to 2018, but I think I have fiscal year 20 and forward, if not fiscal year 19 and forward. If that's showing that 66,000, then the very next accounting question is always, was there any expenses that went out against that? We would look, ask that, let's identify those, net that against that number if we're looking for a number to roll out of that. But the way that the processes work, this probably rolls into retained revenue at the end of the years for those prior years.
Okay, and I just wanted to mention too that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say revolving fund treasurer. I should have asked you that on 24-38, what the current balance was. But is there any other action that we're going to need to do with the money that they have thus far that you just mentioned? Was there any action that Congress needs to do to get the current revenue from there into the revolving fund?
Yeah, I would think that initiating, from that time period forward where we can show that track record, if you kind of establish the time period that we're going back to, like I said, I don't think it's going to be a major hit to retained revenue or anything that where the funds should be sitting at for those prior years. That's where that either comes out of current year appropriations and but you follow me, don't you, Chair?
Okay, I was wondering though, Chair, so because I'm trying to think this through. Right now, they've got program income sitting in their budget, right, or in their financials, right? So how do we, as a Congress, yes, realize it in that revolving fund? How do we take that action to move it from there to there? And I don't know, Treasurer saying that's something he thinks that we would do, not necessarily him.
Oh, yeah.
We've done
I'm
something.
sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I would think that you need to create the fund and then outline, typically when you create that fund, what I've read in the previous revolving funds created, it usually talks about in there how that would initially be funded
Yes.
within that creation of that fund. And once that fund's created, and that's really when we set up a true revolving fund in the ledger and we would make the transfers based on that legislation. Yeah, if that
Okay.
helps.
Okay. So that does change things a little bit from what we're looking at right here, and a possible amendment that may be needed, because there has been something we did one time, and Congresswoman Speaker Goodfox will probably be better to speak on it. She may not. We did something one time with a revolving fund, and we had to come back and either change language or do something because there was money sitting out there that we didn't put in the fund when we changed the name of the fund. I can't remember which one it was. Do you remember that, Congresswoman? Do you remember something like that?
I
It was
do.
something, I think, when you closed out the commercial property fund, there
Yes,
was
that was
something
it. That
with the rental
400,000 or
property benefits.
500,000. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I had
And
to
we need to
remap
fix
all that
this.
for the
Yeah.
first audit. I remember some of that. I'm
So,
trying to go through
are
all
we
that.
talk it's probably when you first got here. So, are we talking about a whole nother piece of legislation at this point, or are you talking about amending what we've got in front of us?
I was gonna say, Chair, Tyler. I that's why I sent the bills to you to review. Is there any language that we need to add to this bill that instructs you to do just that? And if not, then I'm just trying to get this done clean and our meeting's over at 4, but I don't want it to leave committee and then we move on and then that money's not reflected in that fund. I would rather take care of it now. Trey, can you hear us? Mr. Gill, are you? Oh, go ahead, Mr. McIntosh.
Would you be open to 5 minutes recess or coming back to 5 minutes?
So we have the time, absolutely. Without objection, we'll recess for 10 minutes. I hear no objection. We are in recess for 10 minutes. Thank you for that.
Thanks.